came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her. She waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to pray at a secluded place, and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and calling out the demons. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Anyone want to read chapter 2? I can continue. Oh, Stephanie, chapter 2. I think coming up here so people can hear you through the microphone would be better. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. If that changes volunteers, that's okay. So you want to stand here at the...
What if that changed my idea? Now I'm stuck.
We all learned from this example.
Chapter 2. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was laying. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say? To say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up immediately and picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, otherwise the patch pulls away from it and the new from the old, and a worse tear results. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost in the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. And it happened as he was passing through the grain field on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and he also gave it to those who were with him?" Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath."
Volunteer for chapter 3. Mark?
He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great number of people heard of all that he was doing and came to him. And he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crowd him. For he had healed many, with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." And he earnestly warned them not to tell who he was. And he went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, "He has lost his senses." The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and he casts out the demons by the ruler of the demons." And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying he has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Answering them, he said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother."
Chapter 4. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and he was sowing. And as he was sowing, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How, he himself does not know. The soil produces crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which is, when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches, so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them, so far as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there was a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. When he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obeys him?" Anyone want to read chapter 5? Volunteers for 5. Warren?
They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains, and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountains. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herds rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany them, and he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and, on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, Do not be afraid any longer, only believe. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha, come, which translated means, Little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given her to eat.
Well, I don't think we'll be able to get through chapter 7, 6, I mean, with time to spare. So let's just take a few moments here. And I wrote down several things that either I had not intentionally noticed before or that stuck out to me in this time of reading. But anyone have any of those that they were gripped by one something in the text today in the narrative so far? Noah.
Just sheer power that God had over humans, how deep God acknowledged that.
Yeah. The power that Jesus has over the demons, and they know who he is, and he exercises power over the demons. Amazing. Stephanie. Great.
I noticed the part that in chapter 2, verse 6, when, we know the story pretty well, but this time it struck me that when I thought of the Catholics and their priests saying, oh, your sins are forgiven. And I thought, even back then, they knew that that was a problem. So how did it progress into the Catholics when they knew that they were crazy? It just that thought struck me, and I thought of that before.
How can a man forgive sins? Only God can do it.
And I knew that part. The story was familiar, and we thought of it a different way.
Right. The application of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I had another one in the last part, in verse chapter 5, 25, with the hemorrhaging woman. I've heard that story many times, but I don't remember the verse 26 where, and she endured much at the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had and had not helped but gotten worse. I just didn't remember that at all for some reason. I just remember the part of her touching him and figuring it out and all that, but and then also the part where she came forth and bowed at his feet. It was me.
The extreme desperation you can see just in that description in verse 26.
Yeah.
Good. Did any one particular word jump out at you like it jumped out at me? over and over again. Marianne.
Immediately.
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 Immediately. One of the, and I was just, I've never gone through just to mark, just to look for that. I've read that's the, I mean, seen that, but you see it, I think I've noted 7, 8, 9, 10 times, whatever it was, in 1, 10, 12, 20, 2, 8, 3, 7, or 5, 6, can't read my own handwriting here. 529, 30, 542, just all over the place. Immediately, 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 that there's this response. That was, I thought that was noteworthy. Anyone else with any particular thing that stuck out in the reading this morning? You wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, no, go back and tell your people. I always love in that section, I believe it's in this gospel here. Let me just double check here. He goes and says, tell them all that I have done, and he said, or Jesus done, and it says the Lord. I just love that. Proclaiming what Jesus had done for him after he was told to do what say what the Lord had done. So, yeah, great. Anyone else? Warren. I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm. Or at least, I believe, if not Gentile, yeah, I believe, I don't have my study notes here, but I believe, yeah, it would be, it's not in the normal Jewish areas, because they're obviously, they're pig farmers, so it's not going to be a Jewish place. So. So, yeah.
I'm being disappointed about the pigs.
Yeah. And even note it well. Even the difference between their response and the response of the Samaritans after the woman at the well—they come in throngs because of all that Jesus has done and said. And the Decapolis people say, "Get out of here! You know, just leave." Anyone else? Stephanie. Authoritative preaching is different than recounting a lecture style of thus rabbi, the rabbi has said. Very good. Noah. Yeah, it was a pretty wicked thing, and it was Jesus responds appropriately to their foolishness. In chapter 2, is it verse 25? Nope, that's not the right one. Yeah, 25, it says, Jesus says, have you never read? He's in that place, He deals with a lack of understanding. They don't understand what the Bible means. They know the words, they don't know the meaning. And then in verse 4 of the next chapter, he says, he challenges them on the meaning again, and they know this one and still don't like it. So yeah. They don't know a lot of, they don't understand the meaning, and some of the meaning they do know and understand, they dislike him enough to disagree. We have time for just a couple more this morning. Noah? Yeah.
Why did God directly tell our disciples the meaning of the parable of the
sheep? So that seeing they may not, they may see and not understand. I believe he says that here. Thank you. He says to you in verse 11, has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside, in other words, those who are not in the disciples here. Everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven. There's this clarity that he's trying to give to the disciples that he was not giving to the rest.
But why disciples the rest?
Why?
Yeah.
So that, I think, to fulfill the prophecy that he's referring to there, fulfill the prophets. Better answer than that I don't have this morning. Other than to say, because that's what he wanted to do. But other than that, I don't have a better... Yeah, Warren.
Shortly before that, were the leaders of the Jews that said to the people that he did miracles by Beelzebub. At that point, they had rejected him as a Messiah. And so he switched from a public ministry or a public ministry proclaiming himself as Messiah to a private ministry preparing the disciples for his upcoming death.
Thank you, Warren.
I got that from that one.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Anyone else? One other thing that I noticed, and we'll end here in a moment, is in chapter 4, verse 37. I knew it was a storm. I knew it was sleeping, but apparently there's a lot of water in the boat, too. I missed that. And sleeping in a soggy bottom boat might be a little difficult, but that maybe makes their
was the stern of the lower end of the boat or the higher?
I'm
not. In the stern, yeah, was he getting water and didn't care? Or was he above the water and they were all getting the water?
I'm not a mariner, so I couldn't tell you. But so
it's the back end. So the boat comes up at the back end.
So then he was high.
Probably.
And they were getting grounded and he was up on the high ground, just on a cushion.
Either way, it was one of those things that I was like, oh yeah, and it's filling up with water. That would be concerning. So as it kind of brings this to a close, again, we could pick any section of Scripture, I think. I picked the beginning of Mark's Gospel because we get through a lot quickly. It didn't have the genealogies that everyone loves to read out loud. But I think that it is to our benefit to read repeatedly, regularly, out loud, but and be very familiar with the Gospels and the narrative of Christ's life. So we can better even understand the teachings in the epistles and the foreshadowing in the Old Testament. So I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we could read your word together out loud. Lord, may it bless your people. May you be honored by it. May we never be ashamed of reading your word in a closet, at our home, in public, out loud. And may we stand behind for what you have said and be unashamed in its proclamation. Lord, bless our time of fellowship now and the service to follow. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.